Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, please. The book of Genesis, chapter 14. While you're turning there, I would give you a verse of scripture that kind of hangs over this day, and that is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I like the way the message puts this. It says, thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ to live. Amen. I want to begin this morning by telling you about an atheist. An atheist was walking through the woods, admiring all the accidents that evolution had created, saying, well, what majestic trees, what powerful rivers, what beautiful animals, he said. Suddenly he hears behind him in the bushes a rustling, and he turns around to see a 7-foot-tall grizzly bear. He immediately jumps to his feet and begins to run with everything in him. Looking over his shoulder, he notices that the bear is gaining ground. He's so scared that tears come to his eyes. His heart's pounding, and he tries to outrun and tries to run faster, and lo and behold, he trips and falls, flips himself over, and then this grizzly bear is standing right over the top of him with his paw raised. And the atheist cries out, oh my God! Time stopped. The river stopped flowing. The bear froze. The wind stopped blowing. Everything went on hold. And a bright light shone down on him, and out of this bright light, there was a voice. Voice said, you deny my existence for all these years, you teach others that I don't exist, and even credit creation to a cosmic accident. Do you expect me to help you out of this predicament? Am I to count you as a believer? The atheist looked directly into the light and said this. He said, I would feel like a hypocrite to become a Christian after all these years, but perhaps you could make the bear a Christian. Very well, the voice said. The river started flowing. The wind started blowing. The man looks up, and the bear takes that paw that was raised to come down on him, and he brings his two paws together. He bows his head and he says, Lord, for this food that I'm about to receive, I'm truly thankful. Thankfulness. That's what we're talking about today. You know, we all understand thankfulness. How many of you in here are parents? Okay, I would venture to say that every single one of you parents have at some point, as you are growing your children, raising them, someone hands them something, and you say this. What do you say? What do you say? Huh? Come on. How many parents, you've said that to your children, because you know that when somebody gives something to them, they need to learn at the earliest age to say, thank you. We all learned it, probably from our parents or grandparents or somebody along the line that told us, and maybe we forgot to say thank you, and so they grabbed us by the ear or the shoulder and they said, you go tell them thank you. Huh? I'm saying, you know, we got it shoved down into us one way or the other that when you receive something, you say thank you for it. The title of my message today is, what do you say? What do you say? Our Heavenly Father, I believe, is speaking that over our lives today because we take for granted the provisions that He places in our lives. I'd like to take you back, if I could, to Genesis chapter 14, this first, if you will, man of faith. And allow me to read. It's rather lengthy, but I thought about clipping some of the story, but it all needs to be here. So we're going to begin at verse number 8 and read down through verse 24. So stay with me and it'll be more interesting. Then the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah, the king of Admah, the king of Zeboiim, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar, marched out and drew up their battle lines in the valley of Siddim against Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, title king of Goyim, Amphorel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Eleazar, four kings against five. Now the valley of Siddim was full of tar pits, and when the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, some of the men fell into them, and the rest fled to the hills. The four kings seized all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food, and then they went away. They also carried off Abram's nephew Lot and his possessions, since he was living in Sodom. A man who had escaped came and reported this to Abram the Hebrew. Now Abram was living near the great trees of Mamre in the Amorite, a brother of Eshcol and Anar, and all of whom were allied with Abram. May I just say, I could have given all these names to you folks. Okay. Verse 14, when Abram heard that his relative had been captive, he called out the 318 trained men born in his household and went in pursuit as far as Dan. During the night, Abram divided his men to attack them, and he routed them, pursuing them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. He recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and his possessions together with the women and the other people. After Abram returned from defeating Chedorlaomer and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest to you. Oops, I turned too many pages, excuse me. A priest of God Most High, and blessed Abram, saying, blessed be Abram, by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. The king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the people and keep the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, with raised hand I have sworn an oath to the Lord God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or a strap of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, I made Abram rich. I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me, to Anar, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them have their share. Father in heaven, I pray that in these few moments that we have together today, that your Spirit would guide us and direct our thinking and renew in us what we have known since childhood, that it is right, it is fitting, it is proper, it is necessary to say thank you when we receive a provision help us today in Jesus' name. Amen. I would show you this morning from this passage of Scripture three things. First of all, the response of the faithful. This response of faith when we are believers. Abram leads the parade. You see, technically, all the goods that Abram retrieved in this victory belonged to him. He was the conqueror. In that day, and well, almost up to our generation, it is true that the conquering dominion in a battle gets the spoils. He won. The kings that he saved, they knew it. The men who went with him knew it. The king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the people and keep the goods or the provisions for yourself." He knew it. He was, in essence, having to ask Abram to give his people back to him because Abram was the one who led the battle, gained the victory. Melchizedek, and, you know, I know even recently there have been questions as to Melchizedek's origin and who he was. Is he Jesus? Is he this? Is he that? We don't know. It's all over the place. You can study it all over and you can get all kinds of answers. So if somebody gives you a definitive one, they're lying. Honestly, you know, some want to put forth things in that way. We don't know where he came from. He doesn't have beginning or end, according to the Scripture. So where he came from, how he came about, but he was, as it says, priest of God Most High. And he was recognized as such by Abram. Melchizedek said, "And blessed be God Most High who delivered your enemy into your hands." Melchizedek was confirming what Abram knew to be true. He took 318 men against four kings and their armies. I'm certain that Abram knew, we didn't do this. God did this. I'm telling you this morning, folks, that people of faith, people who, like Abram, have raised their hand to God and said, "God, I want you to be the priority in my life. I believe that you exist, and I believe that you are the rewarder of those who diligently seek you." And every victory, every win, every blessing comes from the Lord's hand. Job 32:8 says, "But it is the spirit in a man, the breath of the Almighty, that gives him understanding." So our ability to think. When's the last time we said, "Thank you, Lord, for the ability to think"? It is not until our minds are confused and we can't put our thoughts together that then we begin to lament, whether over ourselves or a loved one of ours who, through old age or through illness, loses track of their ability to understand and put things together, and maybe even forgetting loved ones and the faces of those that they care about. Huh? It's not until those moments that we even think about this provision that we have been given that we can collect information into our minds and have the ability to make a decision. I'm not putting anybody down when I say this, but no one mentioned that this morning. I would say the very first thing that we can thank the Lord for, the very first provision, is the understanding, the awareness, the ability to grasp. Ecclesiastes 2:26 says, "To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom." That's taken in another measure. Knowledge and happiness. "But to the sinner, he gives the tasks of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God." Isaiah 50:40, the sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one who is being taught. If we will turn our attention to the Lord, he will give us what we need for that day. What a provision. John 3:27, to this John the Baptist replied. He said, a man can receive only what is given him from heaven. Coming to that understanding that everything, from the breath that we breathe, to the food that we eat, the jobs that we work, everything has come from our Heavenly Father. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, for who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? We get to think, and look what I did. No, it's what the Lord has done. You see, the response of faith to provisions coming says, God has given me this. God has given me this. Again, every victory, every win, every blessing is from the Lord's hands. Oh, I wish that we had the maturity to take this one more step, but I'll just throw it out at you. Even hardship, even struggle, even pain is a provision from the Lord. Just to give you a glimpse, I can't leave it. If we didn't have pain, quite often we wouldn't know that something else was wrong. When's the last time we said, thank you, God, for the pain? Because it's an indicator that you put in me that something's wrong. Let me take you one more step. And that is that every gift demands a response. Now think about this with me. The response is measured by the giver and not the receiver. Now let me fill that in a little bit. Let me color it in. The response is measured by the giver and not the receiver. When someone gives you something, if you're thoughtful in your thanks, you respond according to the nature of the giver. Are you with me? If that person has gone to trouble to give you the gift, then a proper response is to put forth effort in your thanks. When someone gives you a gift, knowing that it is right down your lane, right? It's just the thing that will really touch you. For instance, if I were to give Gary a set of, I hope this is going to be work, this will work, of knitting needles and a bunch of yarn. Gary, being the nice person that he is, would probably go, oh, thank you. Huh? But on the other hand, if I ran across the turkey collar thingamajiggy, and it was brand new, just came out on the market, nobody has one of these. And I said, man, I saw this and I thought of you, turkey. No. And I give that to him. What's going to happen there? All of a sudden, you know, from down in where he lives and what is meaningful to him and everything, it will be, well, man, thank you. Well, how unexpected for you to get me this. And all of a sudden, you know, it would be more than just saying a quick, no, thanks. Because he would realize that I got to know him and what he needed or what he liked or what would bring him happiness. And I responded to that. And so again, I say this, you see, the response is measured by the giver not the receiver. You see, to some things and certain gifts, say verbal thanks is more than enough. But to others, you need to sit down and write a note. Huh? I know we've pretty much given up on those anymore, but some of us still hold it to be true. Maybe in our making everything so easy, we're losing the value of our thanks. Did you know today that if you want to get a word to your senator or congressman and really get it into them, if you will sit down and compose a letter on a piece of paper and send it to them, they are more apt to get it than if you send them an email if you know their email address. I don't know if I should tell this, but I'm going to. My mom had somebody confiscate in the mail some way her rent check. Freaked her out because she sent it to the proper address, and somewhere along the line, somebody got it, took it out of the envelope, and took it to a bank and cashed it. And she contacted the bank, and the bank said, well, we're going to have to investigate. We're not sure when or if you will get your money back. So I went online and I found the CEO's name of this particular bank and where he is located. And I helped her, and she composed a letter and sent it to that CEO. The day he received the letter, he contacted the branch. They contacted her and said, your money is waiting on you. I say that this morning because I want you to realize, don't lose the value of what you've been given. Every gift demands a response. I have a friend that I try to get with once every month and go to lunch. Most of the time, he will literally jump on the table and wrestle for the check. I mean, it's that kind of thing. But sometimes he'll be distracted in our conversation, and the girl or guy or whatever will lay the check down, and I will get a hold on it, you know, and not let go. Every time I'm able to pay the check, before I ever get back to the office, he has sent me at least one text thanking me for the lunch. He's already verbally thanked me, already told me, well, next time I'm paying. But see, it is important to him as the giver. He's wanting to give. So when he is put in the receiving place, he recognizes there has to be a great response here. Do you understand where we're trying to go here this morning? You see, Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord. That's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is Jehovah. I have raised my hand to the God of the universe, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and have taken an oath that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread of a thong of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, I made Abram rich. I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me. Why? Because he realized it was the Lord who brought the victory. He's not going to take the credit. He's not going to assume what belongs to God. He said, if there's any praise, let it go to God. You see, the world will say, I made you rich. Your company that you work for says, we are your provider, give us thanks. The government will say, we are your provider, give us thanks. You may even say of yourself, look what I have done. I worked so hard and look what I have provided for my family. We're all tempted in that. But listen to me this morning. Every gift demands a response. And you and I, well, don't have to be taken to the hospital, off of your feet, down completely before you realize the strength that I had to go to work yesterday was a strength that God gave me. Don't wait until your breath is stinted and they're having to shove things up your nose and down your throat in order to get you to breathe before you appreciate the fact that you have breath to breathe. Follow me? Every gift demands a response. And for us to neglect to say thank you, at least to say thank you, is something we have learned from being children. What do you say? If the response of faith says every victory, every blessing, every provision, every win is from the hand of the Lord, and if every gift demands a response after the nature of the giver, then what do we say? To our God who gives us everything, what is the proper response? I find myself saying this to the Lord all the time. Lord, my words just seem so empty, so feeble to give you the thanks and the praise that belong to you. I find myself stuttering and stressing over trying to find the right word of expression to thank the Lord for the blessings of my life. I have 3 grown children. They're all healthy. I have 6 grandchildren. They're all healthy. I can't take that for granted. It demands a response. He's a loving God. How do we begin to match his love? If we're looking for his nature, if we want to go to his sweet spot, to be able to say thank you for what you have done, how do we do that? He's a merciful God. Well, we're dependent upon his mercy. We can't give him mercy. He's a powerful God. We can't even match. We can't even begin to match his power. We can't extend to him power. He's all-knowing. We can't fool him. We can't. There's nothing that we could say or do that he doesn't already know. How do you thank an almighty God who has given us everything? I have found one area here in this passage that seems to leap out to my own heart. I see that God is a giving God. It's part of his divine nature. He loves to give. I think many people need to realize that. You know, we're so often looking to the next thing we want from him, we forget about the 10 billion things that he has already given us. But stopping and realizing he's a giving God. You know what amazes me is that he still gives breath to people who curse him. He still gives provisions to those that steal from him. He still gives breath. Imagine that. Breath and provisions to those that don't want anything to do with him, even deny his very existence. He takes pleasure in giving to those who love him and will let him love them. I'm talking now to those of us who are people of faith. It begins for us acknowledging that everything that we have has come from Him. And then it says, okay, every gift demands a response. What is my response? I believe that it will begin with actually saying something. Huh? Like our moms and our dads grabbing hold of our ear and saying, what do you say? What do you say? You're healthy. You're able. You could go and work a whole week. Most of us will belly up to a table that has more food on it this Thursday than many people will have their whole year. Sometimes we pass around the table and tell something that we're thankful for. And half the time, if people use family and friends and some of those things, then if you're five or six down the row, you're going, oh my goodness, what could it be? Huh? Every victory, every blessing, everything that I have in my life has come to me from my Heavenly Father who loves to give. Notice, before the interactions, before he dealt with the kings, before anything else, it says, Abram gave him a tenth of everything. He just wanted to start right off. God was a giving God. God gave them victory. So he wanted to start right off expressing back to God the very way that God had expressed to him by giving. I know how this goes. You think, oh, well, he's preaching this because he wants us to give more. No, that's totally between you and God, folks. And we're not just talking about money here. We're talking about giving after the nature of the giver. In the same way that I wouldn't give Gary those knitting supplies because it's not his nature. It's not what he loves. It's not what he cares about. I'm going to go for the turkey collar or a new gun. I mean, if we got up to the level of a new gun, he would probably say thank you. He might even write me a note. Come on. Now, see, you and I know this. I'm not telling you anything this morning that you don't already know. But what it is, see, we've cut God off from this. Look at his nature. There's so much of his nature that you and I cannot even step into. Oh, yes, he says, love as I love. So we have that ability. But if you really want to say thanks, then step into his giving nature. This is what God himself said to those who would be his people. Listen to this from Deuteronomy. You must not worship the Lord your God in the way of the world. But you're to seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among all your tribes to put his name there for his dwelling. To that place you must go. There, bring your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes, your special gifts, and what you have vowed to give, and your free will offerings, or that's also interpreted thank offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. There in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your family shall eat and shall rejoice in everything you have put your hand to, because the Lord your God has blessed you. God said this. There in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your family shall eat and rejoice in everything you have put your hand to, because the Lord your God has blessed you. Everything, church, that we have because the Lord our God has blessed us. We who are redeemed, who celebrate at this table in full faith, we're not going to a place because the Holy Spirit has come in us. 1 Corinthians 16:19, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, God, honor God with your body. Therefore, honor God with your body. You see, if he's giving us breath, then give him back some of your breath. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Come on now. If he's given you the ability to talk, then use some of your talk to bring glory to his name, to tell others who are hopeless and helpless and don't realize that the God of heaven and earth is the God who is giving them everything that they have in their life. Tell them about Jesus, that he died upon a cross for their sins and will be the hope of their life if they will allow him. Just give him back some of your talk, some of your breath, some of your energy, some of your ability, in a way of saying, thank you, Lord. He gives you time. We all got it this week. We all got the same amount, 168 hours. When do we say, thank you, God? Thank you, God, for letting me live this week. Would you rather be dead? Huh? What is it? The proverb says, a live dog is better than a dead lion. More powerful? You say, yeah, but I didn't feel well on this day, and this kind of went wrong on this day. And so, you were alive to enjoy it, to work your way through it. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. You see, again, this begins with the recognition that everything that we have comes from the Lord, and that every gift demands a response. We learned that from childhood. So then what do we say? We say, here, God, let me give you back some of what you've given to me. Abram, without hesitation, said, here's a tenth to this Melchizedek guy out in the middle of nowhere. Because Melchizedek identified that it was God who brought the victory. Basically, Abram said, I can support that ministry. Okay, one more time, because I want it to be clear to you before we leave. If every response of faith says every victory, every blessing, every provision, every win is from the hand of the Lord, if every gift demands a response after the nature of the giver, and if the very nature of God is giving, our response of thanks must then be giving. Not just money, but of every provision. You see, think about this. Think of how it can revolutionize our life. That everything that God has given us in blessing as a provision, if we would think, I need to give back to him a part of this blessing. Time, energy, finances, love, mercy, grace. First Thessalonians 5:18 is where we started. Let's stop here. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Giver God, hear this, giver God is waiting for a response. Whoever has given to God, that God should repay him, Paul says. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. What does God have for us today? Well, He's pouring provisions into our lives. What do you say? What do you say? Is it enough to just say, thank you? That may cover my breath, my ability to speak. But what about all the rest? Many of you, most of us, will get up tomorrow morning, get in our cars after we've eaten some breakfast or whatever, and we'll drive to jobs that the Lord has provided for us. At the end of the week, they'll give us or send us a paycheck for it. What has the Lord given to you that you've not given a proper response? What do you say? What do you say? How about if our response to the Lord for all of His provisions was to be just, let me look for a way to give back to the Lord. Excuse me. Knew that was coming. It can get worse. Come on, folks. Let's be new creations. New creations in Christ Jesus. Old selfishness, old willingness to just receive, passed away, and all things are become new. Father in heaven, thank you for the way that you give. Thank you for the way that you give. Help us, O Lord, to realize that a proper response has been taught us from childhood. Every gift demands a response. And everything we have has come from you. Help us, O Lord, to ask that question of ourselves this morning. What do we say? How to respond to a God who's given us so much? As we approach this table this morning and reckon with the death of the Lord Jesus, help us to realize, God, you gave it all so that we could have everlasting life. And may we also hear your words, Lord Jesus, unto whom much is given, much will be required. Every gift demands a response. Guide us this morning, I pray, as we share communion together. And help us to come with thankful hearts. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask the other pastors to join me. We're going to do communion a little bit different this morning because I want you to just use just a little bit of your energy to step out and to receive these elements of communion. So these brethren are going to be in these aisles, and I'll be here in the center. And if you want to take communion with us, I invite you to come up and take the elements of communion, and then you can return to your seat or you can kneel at the altar wherever you would like. hold the elements until everyone's been served, and then we'll share them together. Praise you, Jesus. Come, let us come to the table of the Lord. A little dance there. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you, David. Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." Wow. Wow. How do you top this gift? How do you say thank you for someone who died to give you everlasting life? Oh my goodness. Maybe this is what Paul was talking about when he spoke to the church at Rome and he said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual act of worship. To say to the Lord, Lord, there's no way that words are sufficient. To just say thank you just falls so short of the sacrifice that you made. So here's my life. Here's my life. Use me as you will. Do with me as you will. Because you have given me eternity. I wonder what our 60, 70, 80, maybe even 90 years in relationship to eternity. A blink. Not even a blink. Would you all agree with me that the Lord gave us more than what we could give back to Him? Abram wanted to make a statement right off. He just gave God 10% just right off the top. Before he ever dealt with the kings or any of that, he just, hear God. He wanted to say, you took care of us. You ministered to us. You were our provision. I want to say, thank you, Jesus. How do we say thank you to you, Lord, for giving us the assurance, the hope of everlasting life? That we can walk through our days, and when struggle and sorrow and difficulty come our way, that we can say, this isn't the end. We win. Because Jesus died for us. Lord, I pray today that as we take this broken body, this emblem of your broken body into our bodies, that this morning, that there would be a call from down deep inside of us for a thank you. More than words. But help us, O Lord, to present our lives as a living sacrifice to you. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples. And he said, take, eat, this is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Church, let us take the bread this morning. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. After the same manner, our Lord took the cup, and he said, this cup is a new covenant that I seal with my blood. As often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you show my death until I come. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us take the cup this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me challenge you forward this week, church. Go looking. Go looking for all the hidden things that God has given to you. And look for ways to give Him thanks. May this be a thanksgiving time for us. Huh? A thanksgiving time. Look for ways to give that blessing back to God. And may He be glorified and honored. If you'd like to spend time with the Lord, these altars are open. If you'd like somebody to pray with you, we would be honored to anoint you with oil and pray for you and believe, because He is our healer. Amen. What a gift. Oh my goodness. I think it was Andre Crouch wrote a song a lot of years ago. He said, "How can I say thanks for all the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you came and give your love to me." God bless you and have a grand week in the Lord. Thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Bless you.